Feeling really fly to right now.
It's time for you to earn your stripes, Johnny.
Take the money and run.
That was so hard. You can't die. You cheater. You can't die.
This is a wild game of survival. This is a wild game of survival.
We are live, coming here with a brand new Stir the Pod podcast show. I'm your host, Trevor, and tonight we are joined by Andy. Andy, how you doing tonight?
What up, what up?
And we're also joined by Alex. Alex, how are you doing tonight?
Yo, yo, yo.
And we are here, episode 7. The boys are all back in action tonight, episode 7. And let me just say, this episode was chaos. It was so dramatic. We love to see it. Initial thoughts, tonight's episode. We'll start with Alex, his brother Andy. Andy, thoughts?
You know, I actually thoroughly enjoyed this episode. Ooh. Now, hand up, I started a full 30 minutes behind, so I was able to fast forward through all the commercials, so I was very just bang, 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 bang. But I enjoyed it. I thought there was a lot of dumb shit, which we'll get into, but I always like when an episode finishes strong. And in my opinion, that's what we had here tonight. We'll get into everything, but I thought this was one of the better ones of the season.
Love to hear it. Alex, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, let me first say that, you know, I'm glad to be back. I missed the Thanksgiving pod. I'm thankful for all the live chat. But now that we are back, I would say my thoughts on the episode. I thought it was good. I thought it was, you know, we're officially in like the mid-season, episode 7 now. I thought it was a move the chains type episode. It ended on a high note with Devin and the chaos and all of that. I just think aside from that, I couldn't tell you like two fun, entertaining things that happened. I thought the daily was pretty weak. I thought most of the drama was pretty repetitive. But like, it wasn't terrible. Like it's not one of those episodes where we're episode 11, 12, where we're just grinding through it. I didn't feel like that. I just thought it was a move the chains good type episode.
Yeah. I thought the first half of the episode was pretty boring and like not much kind of transpired, but like the second half of the episode from the Corey moment on, it kind of got very interesante, which I really liked. Yeah, so let's just dive right in. Where should we begin? The start?
Let's start with the end.
All right, let's start with the end. The end, the elimination. No, all right, in all seriousness, the streak. Now, me and Andy last week said the streak was very más o menos. We didn't know what to call it. So we gave it up to you, Alex. So last week, is there an asterisk by the streak or what is our thoughts on the streak as of last week?
Last week being Kaz wins. So Big T goes back, Kaz loses, Big T goes back to the house.
No. I'm thinking Wait. Jordan winning.
Yes. So last week
you were on. Me and Andy said it was up to you. So I just want to get it straight. Did that streak continue?
I think the streak was over.
Wow.
I think the streak was over because we say the streak is the winner of the elimination is the first one back running into the house. Jordan won. It wasn't him.
Wow.
I think this, in my opinion, the streak is over, and it was probably something that we could have thought of if we weren't, you know, 9 shots deep in our season preview, just that this might be a bad season for the streak if that, you know, that type of thing keeps happening.
So keeping the streak up, did the streak count tonight?
So tonight, Big yeah. T should have been the first person back into the house, but was
yes,
she?
Yes, she was, yes.
Her and Melissa were kind of dancing in. I thought Melissa got an elbow.
I don't know. We might go to VAR.
It sounds like, Trev, it sounds like the only people who actually want the streak to be alive are me and you.
I know. I know people forget. Me and Andy
were the ones. The streak couldn't be alive last episode.
I mean, it's all right. We all know. It's fine. We'll say the streak won't happen. Me and Andy, we'll get back to the drawing boards with our streak. Yep. And we'll make sure, next week. I guess next week it won't happen either.
Trev, do you just want to jump into my section, chump change?
Yeah, let's just dive right into that as well.
Watch
it. All right, so.
So Shriek is dead. Shriek is dead, according to Alex. Shriek is totally dead, ruined forever.
No. No, well, no. I'll give the big T tonight.
You just said no.
The streak is not.
You said Melissa spit the elbow out. Or maybe her.
And I thought she did. I thought she did. You guys just told me it was a tie, so we'll give it to Big T. Right?
I don't know, Jim.
If you guys don't want the streak to continue, that's fine.
No. I just want the streak to be cutthroat. Like, yes, it happened or no. There's no, oh, it was a tie or anything like that. It's a yes or no question. Was she first or not?
I don't know. We have to go back to the booth. But either way, the streak's not going to continue next week.
I know. That's what I just said.
So it sounds like you want the streak to be dead and over forever.
I invented
the streak. And I don't want to jump too far ahead. Is the streak on LVP watch tonight? Okay. We'll get into that. All right. Enough joking around. Moving on. We go into pre-challenge stuff. Nothing really big happened except kind of the hookup montage, which I'm sure, Andy, you love that kind of stuff.
Which hookup montage are you talking about early on?
Yeah, it was in between the daily and the challenge. Or the it was pre from...
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty much all in on any scene that has Mariah.
Oh, come on.
I mean, she's just... She's on a mission at this point. But yeah, I'm all for it. There's a lot of couples that are getting together, some that are kind of dwindling. We'll get into that. I do like that there's the hooking up aspect of this season, but there doesn't seem to be as much
drama,
chaos behind it. Like, I love a good, Teresa going up to Mr. Beautiful, he shoots her down, then she goes crawling to Wes. Like, I love when the whole house is involved in the hooking up in some way, shape, or form to create the drama and chaos aspect of it, which I don't think we're getting this season, but I'll take it over everyone just going in their rooms and reading a book.
Do you, and I'm going to Alex now, do you like that kind of stuff, Alex? Like, I know your boy Kenny back in the day with the whole Teresa scene, like, is that what you like, especially from out of Mr. Beautiful?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I want to see, but I think kind of to Andy's point, I do feel like this season, it's almost like they're talking about the hooking up more than we actually see the hooking up. Like, I think the three main hookups that we got in that little montage, and these are kind of the three main relationships that have been going on so far, were Mariah and the Hulk, Norris and Horacio, and Michelle and
Towns.
Those are kind of the big three. Do we think, like, what is next on the horizon in terms of this cast? What a guy girl combination could you see? And you also have to take into effect that you can't pick somebody who you think might go home next week because that probably won't stay.
So I've got a clear-cut one who you didn't mention. We have seen, but it's just been a little sprinkle, like on the money line, Horacio and Norris. Will we see them be amplified as a couple here? Did you say them?
Of course I said.
That was the first one he said.
Oh, so maybe I just missed that. I thought you said...
I think the one I missed, I think, was was Kylan and Melissa.
Maybe that's who I was thinking about.
Which they didn't. I think they actually did not show those two in the montage, but that's definitely the fourth.
And they seem to be the most toxic one that could just boil up and explode at any point in time. Because Melissa seems like a firecracker, and Kylan just seems like a normal guy, like an accountant. And I think when you mix those two in the challenge environment, you never know what you're going to get. A la kiss her, kiss her, kiss her.
No. Well, I'm trying to think of who might be, I guess, the fifth couple in the next couple weeks. I mean, with the girls and some of the outfits that they're showing, anybody's an option. But I feel like guys-wise, you have to think maybe Emmanuel. I mean, he's always just kind of hopping around like a rabbit, you know, getting his hands on whatever he can. But I wonder, like, could you see maybe him and Kim, the blonde girl?
You
or Berna?
You mean Colleen?
Is it Colleen?
Yes. It seems like Berna kind of wants it. I mean, she's literally wearing zero clothes.
Dude, the daily was out of control. I literally texted Alex that.
The Berna, Berna Amanal combo makes sense, but they almost have like a brother-sister thing going on, like in the show. Yeah. So I don't think that would happen. But God, if they didn't have that kind of relationship, then that would be the answer to your question, 100%.
Let me go this route with you. And I know this will be kind of like a next year thing, next season thing, or current right now in real time. Is there any chance that a champ that you see come in the house dates somebody, dates one of these new competitors? Like, let's say Devin dates Nerys. Obviously, Nerys is with Horacio, but you know what I'm saying? Kind of like.
You mean just based on, like, they're there for an hour in the elimination pit?
Dude, these people are psychos.
Well, and the champ would have $10,000. Making them rich.
Which, with $10,000, I think you can start up your own personal gym.
Yes. Your family's set.
Event space.
Never have to work again. So, all right, moving on. Let's go to the daily. The daily, I mean, I don't think we've ever seen this before, a puzzle above water. So, I mean... Can you explain the rules, Alex? Because I am just so sick and tired of seeing these goddamn puzzles swinging across, throwing shit down.
I mean, it's just – it's gotten out of hand just how repetitive these dailies are. I mean, it's literally put things above water, jump, climb, swing a rope, solve a puzzle. Like this one – I don't know. I personally did not like the daily at all. It was basically two big pyramids. A certain number of people from one team have to swing to the other side. Somebody has to stay there so that they can basically give them the answer sheet, and they tell them what colors to put in the right spots, and just a thing we've seen them
do. Do you think they just use the exact same pieces from years past and just like spray paint them or repaint them? And they're like, all right, let's take it out of storage again. Here we come. And then just move it to the next spot. And just
they probably saved the apparatuses. Apparatus.
So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty. God, they are the cheapest motherfuckers on planet Earth. It is unbelievable how cheap.
Oh, God. I'm trying to think of how to ask this question. Can we just, like, I guess, except the fact that dailies just kind of suck now.
Yeah, I mean,
I like the duct tape one, but yeah, I do think that dailies for the most part have just been terrible.
I mean, in all seriousness, and I hate to say this, when was the last time dailies were good? Free agents?
Probably in that era.
Rivals 3, Rivals 2.
But I feel like back in the day, it was like the daily was like a fun, important thing that was like fairly new each time. And like if we were doing the pod at the time, like would have given us stuff to talk about. Like they would show it in the commercials and the, you know, the trailers and all of that. Where I feel like now the dailies are really just like, you know, do this. It's the same rinse and repeat. And like I feel like we spend most of our recaps here talking about everything outside of the
deal. Yeah.
So let me pose a question to the rest of the board. Do we think that the fact that the winners of the dailies get safety immunity and pick a team to go in or a person to go in is the right or the wrong way to do it? And what I mean by that is the alternative that we've seen is the losers of the daily go straight in. Do you think if it was the flip-flop where if you're last place, you're immediately in, does that help?
I'm always down for that.
Me too.
I'm always down for that. And I feel like they, obviously they're not doing it this season. And I feel like they've, you know, done it once maybe in the past 5-10 seasons. But like back in the day, that was a staple. Mm-hmm. It was the last, usually like a guy and girl, the last pair, they're going in. And that made it much more entertaining because you weren't necessarily just figuring out who was first. You were also figuring out who was last. So like every team was meaningful to like watch and pay attention to. And they've just gone away from that for whatever reason. But I think that was definitely a thing that no matter how else they do anything else, I'm always in for last place go straight.
Yeah, I think it's an easy way, and it's so straightforward with everything. And there's some repercussions. Like when people don't finish a daily and they just skate by to the next round, it's dumb. Like make them earn it at least.
Yeah, because so, like, right now what we're dealing with is the winners get immunity and they vote someone in. That's just too much. That's too much on their plate. If the winners got immunity and last place went in, then you would have a benefit to winning and you would also have a big negative for losing. You don't have to give the winners that much power in a given episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of like the perfect representation of where the challenge producers' minds have gone, where like they don't necessarily care as much these days about the competition. They want the stupid drama that like most of the time we don't even like anymore. They want votes going around. They want, you know, first place that you send them in and then everybody gets like a chance to vote in. So like, I don't think they want
competition,
something that relates. Yeah. They don't want the competition to have to lead to 50% of the elimination participants being decided that way. They want to show all of the stupid, you know, whispering behind the wall, you know, when they remember, what was it a couple episodes ago? And they said, Jordan is the best challenger of all time. And then they bring Jordan in, like they want that shit. So it's not surprising that, you know, they're really just riding that train these days.
Yeah. Mikey, the doctor writes, with this format, I don't think you can put in last place, but let me go this route with you. You can easily do last place because you could just have a boy and a girl elimination on the exact same day, and we could make these episodes 10 times better. Two chomps coming in the house. What was it called? The thing you said, Andy? Chomp change?
Yes. My
segment.
What's it called? Thank you. Segment. My segment.
Cool.
Well, so, and it would also be kind of nuts. Like today was obviously a guys, but let's say there was a team of three and it was two guys and one girl and the loser goes in. And then it just comes down to the girl's vote. Yeah, like the guys obviously vote for themselves and the one girl determines it. Like, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. But what do we know? We're just people that podcast about a show that we've dedicated how many years of our life to and have no idea. 100% for free, though. Thank God we're not spending $500 showing these podcasts. So,
The challenge social media is probably not even doing a single thing. Is it safe to say that Stir the Pod does more than the official challenge social media team?
I think some are saying that.
We do.
I think that's just a fact.
All right. So any other thoughts on this challenge, this daily? I think the two moments we got to talk about still is Berna's outfit and Mariah with the nose job that she just dropped out of the ball. We'll start with Berna for Andy. I know you're a big Berna girl. So what were your thoughts on that?
That's the best way to show Berna on this show.
I mean, come on.
I mean, she's got the braces, you know, whatever. But what we saw out of Berna tonight was the best we're going to see from Berna this season.
And a pretty weak alibi of you know, I was an acrobat. I was a dancer. We always pull our shorts up. I didn't believe that part. I did believe the part after that when she said, I don't even realize it these days. Like, I can kind of believe that.
Yes.
All right. Now let's talk about Mariah.
Mariah.
Go ahead. Oh, come on.
I mean, Mariah afraid to, you know, damage one of the many surgeries that she's gotten over the days. If I were her, I would personally be more worried about a Siobhan type accident. So
I just definitely got Ruins vibes.
The only thing that like I was thinking about during this whole thing when Mariah was talking and she said she had a $13,000 nose job. Like the only thing that was popping in my head, and it wanders through my head all the time, and it's a question I ask all the time, is who's paying for this shit?
I think Bananas.
Wait, so does her nose job cost more than Callum's elimination loss?
Yes. You know, but Andy makes a great point. Seriously, how is she paying for this shit? Like, seriously.
Probably from the fucking, like, the checks that they hand them just for being on the show.
How much do those checks are for Mariah? Mariah to show up. You think she's getting 15K?
No. I think she's getting, like, 1,000 a week, maybe.
I was thinking 1,500. But
she's probably there for 13 weeks last year.
You don't know, like, her surgeon could have, like, a buy one, get one 50% off, or, you know, buy a pair and get a nose. Like, you never know. You never know.
I think she is in Miami, so that sounds like a possibility.
She's got one of those little punch cards where, like, if you buy 9 sandwiches, you get the 10th one free. She's got one of those deals going on.
What's she on right now?
She's on card number 3.
Oh, card 3?
Have you seen her?
Jesus Christ. All right. So moving on from the daily, we had Kylan, Big Horacio pulling out the dub. So all three of those clowns are safe. And they have to vote in a male, we find out. This is going to be a male elimination. And they pick, what's his name? Amanel?
Yes, Amana.
Amana. Amana goes in for the elimination. Go back to the house, and we go to Alex's favorite spot, the club. What happened at the club, Alex? Anything interesting? Anything fun? I think just an apology, but, like, nothing too crazy?
Yeah, I think the thing from the daily that kind of carried over into the club is the big Emmanuel and Horacio apology. Which, what are your guys' thoughts on just kind of how they, like, played up Horacio all episode, basically, about, like, you know, they did it before the challenge about, like, you know, he's quiet, he doesn't have a voice, which, like, it's fair, I guess, because last season he didn't really make any moves, but, like, he also was on an all-rookie team with a lot of veterans, and, like, they didn't win a challenge. Like, there's not much he can do, but they really, I feel like this episode played it up, like, you know, he's so nice. He doesn't like to get his hands dirty to the point where he was almost like crying, like apologizing based on his vote, which I don't know. It all kind of felt very forced to me.
I will say this, and I think Andy brought this up, no joking aside, I think Andy brought this up during our preview show. He doesn't know how to handle power at all. And this is a perfect example of him kind of like, oh, I'm the top dog, like, and he's just all over the place. So I think what they showed was actually really good. I like seeing that stuff, and I like seeing him at a vulnerable place. So, like, I don't know. Andy?
I agree. I mean, this was what I expected to happen. Again, like you mentioned, Trev, it's one thing to be a good competitor when your back's against the wall the whole time. When you're a rookie, that's what you have to happen. And if you win and win and win, you're going to have a great season. But now in a scenario like this where you are viewed as one of the alphas in the house, you have to make alpha moves. And he's not ready for that. And I honestly don't know if he will be, because he just seems like too nice of a guy. But if you want to win in the challenge, you have to be able to like make a move and stick by it. Because that was another thing. Even when they made the move to call in Amana, like he was already like almost immediately backpedaling. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. So then don't fucking do it. This could be your show. Right now, in my opinion, the male running the house is Jay. My opinion. It's not a fact. But Jay's the one who's willing to call shots and willing to make decisions. If Horacio were to just simply be able to make decisions, he's got – I mean, he's won back-to-back dailies. He would be able to have the performance and the shot calling to run this house. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he wants the shot calling.
No, he kind of wants to be in the shadows, just kind of laying low, kind of like the king of radar watch, just – you know, and he's not. This is the moment where, and I'm trying to think of the exact line from the Batman, like, bring the rat to the light, like, rat-da-da-da, or whatever it's called. Like, seriously, like, this was a perfect moment for Horacio to step up and kind of claim that, look at me, I'm the captain, and he didn't do it. So I wonder if we'll see this throughout the rest of the season. Very domino-esque thing is them fighting over who's actually the top dog. Because like Andy's point, Jay being the top dog, okay, that's fair. Jay is not that good. And if Jay is your captain, like, we have issues. Alex?
No, I mean, I think that all makes sense. A lot of good points. I think... I just wonder if, in my opinion, it's too early to say definitively that Horacio just doesn't have it in him to be the top dog. I mean, so far he's shown that he can't really be, like, he hasn't shown us anything to believe that, but I think it is too early to say that there's no way he ever could. I wonder if it's going to take maybe him getting really screwed over, you know, in this season or next season or whatever, to really kind of start fighting back. Because I feel like last season, I don't know, I'm sure he got voted into one of the eliminations that he was in. But I feel like, you know, he was able to, like, accept the rookie excuse. So I wonder if, like, he is obviously a very nice guy and all of that, but I just wonder if, like, it's going to take him actually, like, getting screwed over, you know, the welcome to the challenge type-esque moment, to where then he starts, you know, becoming a much more vocal competitor.
Do we think he gets thrown in?
I think so.
I think so too.
I would
some foreshadowing early.
I would say no. However, based on what happened tonight, I don't think you can say anyone's safe. And I don't want to necessarily segue that into the rest of the episode, but I think he is on the chopping block, but it's going to be at the hands of Jay. Because in my mind, and we're still kind of in this lovey-dovey, even though we're in the chaos mode, in my mind, it's going to boil down to Team Horacio versus Team Jay. And Jay's not going to think twice about pulling the trigger on Horacio or anyone on his alliance. But I think Horacio is going to be hesitant to pull the trigger on Jay. And if you're hesitant to pull the trigger in the challenge, it's going to be pointed right back at you.
That's fair. Alex, anything else?
I'm good.
All right, so we go to the club, and we have Horacio doing the apology, like we said. Go ahead.
Can I just add one more thing about the club?
Yep.
I hate the club.
I thought you invented the club.
This is a fake club. Early on, it made it seem like this was a normal club and there are other people at the bar and it was like a fun time. I think we've got an igloo 2.0 on our hands. Wow. I think this is a fully, like, they just go to a bar. It's probably like in the backyard of the house and that's it. That's my take. I think the club sucks.
Wow. That hurts. I want that
on the record.
But I think it's been like that for a few seasons.
I know.
But I feel like at the start of this one, I feel like I remember them showing like some randos at the club.
You know when the club...
I think that was the cast.
I honestly think the thing that broke the club was Pastagate. I'm serious.
Maybe.
That I think that was the last time they actually went out and kind of mingled with people. And speaking of people, who was involved in that? Like, can we get Tony Raines back on the challenge?
Didn't Corey literally body slam him?
Yes.
Act like he said, like, no, I don't know what we're talking about.
Do you know, this is a good segue for all of tonight, too. Do you know who Corey's partner was?
Devin.
There we go.
Wait, didn't that lead to when Bananas was following him around the house? Or Devin followed Bananas around the entire night?
Yes.
Isn't it crazy that to talk about, like, dramatic stories that were actually entertaining, we have to go back like five seasons?
Five seasons?
When was that?
I don't think five seasons. I think it was like seven, eight, nine.
Probably eight, I think.
Yeah. Wasn't it like right after Dirty 30? And we're on season.
I think it was like right after Dirty 30.
I mean, come on. All right. So the other thing that kind of happened, and I thought this was pretty smirky, was the biker Photoshop photo. Ed, Melissa, and Big T, correct me if I'm wrong, right? Ed is just the man. Ed, if you don't like Ed, and, you know, I know we tell the story all the time. Me and Andy, you know, what can I say? From the BMFE era to now, like, we are locked in a line with Ed, anything. Ed from the circle, we had the inside track. Alex was just, oh, he sucks, blah, 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 blah. Look where we are now. I mean, me and Andy, what can I say?
I couldn't agree more, Trev. Me and you bought stock the second you could buy stock in Ed from the circle.
And I'm still holding. I'm still holding.
Oh, my God. I'm never selling.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
He is amazing. Alex, what is your thoughts on that biker gang and just Ed from the circle in general? I know you're still not a big fan of him, but.
I mean, I just don't know if those – if Ed has ever talked to either of those two girls before. That was just totally out of nowhere, completely forced. And didn't he end – I maybe looked away or something. Didn't he end that whole conversation? They cut to a confessional, and he basically said, like, you know, like, I'm not with him at all.
Yes.
Is that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
He's a legend.
Legend. All right, so moving on, we'll go – moving on, we'll go to the deliberation. And there's really not much to talk about the deliberation except Corey just being a dumbass. Like, there's moments where people say, like, one sentence that is the wrong thing and kind of screws them over and them getting voted in. No, Corey doubled down and, I mean, he played all his cards and showed, like, I don't know. I just think the fact that you were a spy and you play your cards episode 7, which people forget we didn't have an elimination last week. So we're like on episode 6 almost. Like, why are you playing this game like this? That is a move you do like later on in the season. Like, perfect move, just wrong time. And on top of it, if you're doing this move, why are you not telling your alliance that? So that's my thoughts.
Yeah, that's that last part, I think, is what stuck out to me as well. Like, I just don't know if I can't remember seeing somebody like draw a line in the sand that resulted in them being on an island more than Corey did tonight. Like, he literally, what he was doing, he explained as, like, you know, trying to stand up for his alliance and show them how trustworthy he is and everything. And, like, yet they still voted him. Like, his alliance – and he knew his alliance didn't have his back, but he still did it. And, like, his alliance did not have his back. So, like, he finished his big old grand speech all on an island. He was all by himself. He threw Big T and Melissa under the bus. And so, like – I can't remember somebody just like doing something and saying something that led to them being totally isolated in the way that Corey did tonight.
So I have a take and I want to get your guys' thoughts on, because I'm pretty sure it's accurate. the whole I'm a spy is total bullshit. Corey was playing both sides of the fence this entire time, and that was his plan. And today was when he realized, oh, me playing both sides of the fence fucked me, and my own alliance does not trust me. So then he burned one side of
the smaller side. Yeah,
exactly. But I do not think this was a part of the plan at all. No. I think this is a classic case of, I want to try to be friends with everybody. I want to be in an alliance with everybody. And then he realized that if you spread yourself that thin, you're on no teams, no alliances at all. His closest alliance was the people that he threw under the bus. But he realized literally during deliberation that they did not have the juice to help him at all, and then tried to throw him under the bus, and yep, literally was a unanimous vote. This was like the worst attempt at playing politics that I think I've ever seen, to be honest.
He got his hands stuck in the cookie jar. It's as simple as that. Like, he looked terrible. And I feel like the only types of people that can do that move is like CT, where CT is very notorious for kind of teetering that line, but everybody's scared of him. Nobody's scared of Corey. I mean, like, hell, I'll go into elimination against Corey right now. Like, CT does it so well because people are afraid of him. So I think that's the biggest difference with that.
So. Yeah, and yeah, to Andy's point, I think, like, the whole, you know, I'm going to make a big speech about how I'm a spy. It's bullshit because, like, if you were truly playing, like, the spy, double agent type role, your alliance would value that.
Yes.
And they would, like, have your back, and they and you would, like, have these conversations well beforehand with Jay and Michelle and whoever the hell else, and be like, hey, you know, I'm on your alliance, but I'm going to, like, you know, work with Melissa and Big T and, like, let you know what they're thinking and all of this stuff. And, like, they would keep you on probably even more so because you're getting information from the other side. And so, like, the fact that he, you know, deals all of this and what he's doing, and, you know, he's using them, and then, like, you know, Michelle and Jay are just like, we don't fucking care. Like, you're out of here. Like, that just proves that it's all just lies.
Absolutely. So moving on, we go to the voting. They all vote for Corey, so Corey's into the elimination. And then we go to the elimination itself. So Corey and Amanel is down in the, what is it? Is it the killing floor?
Arena.
The gauntlet.
Gauntlet? The ruins? Down in the ruins, where basically you got these two clowns down here, and we bring out the third clown, Devin, as our champion this week. What is our initial thoughts on Devin coming out? And two, do we think it was the right move? Because obviously we know the five male challenge champs. Do we like it how he was the second male challenge champ to come out? Because I do. I think two's a perfect spot for him. But that's just me.
I agree. I think two is the perfect spot because I think out of the five guys, you clearly know that Devin is low man on the totem pole, just in terms of, you know, Hall of Fame status, shock factor, all of those types of things. And I don't think you want your worst person going last. I don't think you want your worst person going first. I think they did a really smart thing a couple weeks ago by having Jordan come out. They kind of missed the boat last week, having Kaz be the first girl. She should have been the second girl, just like Devin was the second guy. And you just kind of put him in the middle, and then, you know, we can look forward to the CTs, Brads of the world. So I think having him come out second was the smart choice.
What about him as a champ?
I mean, he is a champ. He's definitely more of a champ than Kaz, I would say.
No, absolutely.
But I mean, he is. It is fun to say that they're bringing on the reigning champ, I guess, is the only other thing.
That's fair. No, that's a good point. I just think maybe we're just getting old in the fact that there's nobody else we can get is what hurts.
Well, I think you're right. We are getting old, because I think another benefit of bringing somebody like Devin, he is, out of really any champ you could have brought on, is probably the most like connected to this cast. Like, he knows a lot of those people on the stage because he's still doing challenges. He's still doing seasons with them. Like, Jordan comes on every few seasons. Darrell hasn't been on in forever. Brad was, you know, fucking Brittany a few years ago, and he hasn't been back since. So, like, you just have these older guys, whereas Devin, yeah, he's not a CT. He's not a banana man, but, like, he is still doing the show. So he does sort of have that, you know, connective tissue to the fan base.
Let me go this route with both of you guys. And I don't know if we've done this already, and I apologize if we have. If you can pick five challenge champs that could be on the season, who would it be?
For guys or girls?
We'll do both. Realistic.
Can I, before we dive into this bullshit, I need to address Devin. You guys are not giving him nearly enough credit that he deserves. He's the most recent new age champion that we have. He's very good at the show. He started off.
I just said both of those things.
No, but not on the level that is deserved. You guys just went on a tangent. Now you're trying to jump into hypothetical bullshit. Devin being a champion on this season is incredibly deserved. He is a very, very good competitor. He started his challenge career as a little bitch, but now he's incredibly well respected by the old heads, like the Banana Man and the CTs of the world and all these new kids. No one else is like that. Devin is one of one on this show right now. So the fact that we're even having the conversation of, like, is it a good thing or bad thing that he's considered a champ, that he's coming back? Oh, yeah. Devin is what the show needs right now.
Okay, Andy. Here's my counter to that. Would you rather have Devin come out tonight or Bananas come out tonight or Wes come out tonight?
I would always take Bananas in any given situation. I would take Devin over Wes 100%. Easy.
Okay. What about I'm trying to think of somebody.
So this can be a good segue into your question. If I were to pick five champs that I want guy-wise for this season, the top three would be Bananas, Jordan, and Devin. Those would be my top three.
Over CT?
I think so. I'm done with CT. CT had a great career. I love it. But I'm putting Devin above him in terms of who I want to see on my TV show at this point in time.
Wow. We are – it's so funny.
CT's my four. Devin's my three.
It's so funny how – I wasn't even trying to blow this up. I did not realize Andy was this big of a Devin guy, and now he's joining the dark side with me and not a fan of CT. I love this.
Sorry. He's fucking old.
Wow. Alex, thoughts?
I mean, Devin, there's no asterisk to Devin. He's a champ. He's the reigning champ. He is good at a lot of things. He's obviously not, you know, as strength-wise, you know, somebody like CT or Darrell. But, like, he has his strengths. He can win any elimination, any challenge. But I think if we were picking our, you know, dream fantasy cast for these champs, like, Devin would not be close to my top five.
No, here's the thing.
Who is your top five?
And Andy did bring up a good point. Devin is that fresh champ. And I think that's why I would slot him in as like a five spot. Now, all time, I'm not putting him in top five. Absolutely.
No, that was not the question.
And I know.
You dare put words in my mouth.
I know. Ropa. Like, I'm just saying. Here's a good competitor. Would you rather have Devin or Zach?
Devin, I told you my top three. My top three would go in order. Jordan one, Bananas two, Devin three.
No Kenny? Well, I know you're not a big Kenny guy, so.
Stop it.
What?
He's blacklisted.
Whoa.
Whoa, Ropa. God damn. Alex, seriously, thoughts?
My top five that I would pick, Bananas, Jordan, CT, Wes. Give me fucking Landon.
Timeout.
But no. Alex. Realistic. Like, Landon's not coming back.
No. Timeout. Let's say anyone's on the chopping block. Anyone's fair game. Landon would get called up and do this in a heartbeat. Why would you want Landon? It's 2023. It's about to be 2024. Do you want to just keep living in the past? I'm genuinely asking.
That's why
I like Devin. Devin is a younger guy. He gives hope to the next wave of the challenge. Landon is a fucking dinosaur. All those guys you named are dinosaurs.
We saw Devin on like 26 episodes of television last year. I'm not saying like who would be the best person to interact with the cast. I'm saying I'm watching a TV show. I see Devin all the time. I haven't seen Landon in 10 years.
Why would you want to see him?
Because he's a Hall of Famer.
But what does that do to the next 3 years of the show?
I don't care what it does to the next 3 years. I care about watching the episode tonight.
So you'd rather have somebody who would be on your TV show for 10 minutes that would have no impact for the next two seasons as opposed to somebody who could be coming back and could play a role in the show?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know how much
we got left. Bananas.
Devin's coming back next season, the season after, regardless of if he does this shit.
Yeah. So why not have him be an integral part of what the show's doing?
Landon's not as good as this thing
the show would do.
No, I agree. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I think this person won his first season. What about somebody who hasn't been on in a while? What about Theo?
I'd be game for Theo.
Didn't he win?
Theo's not.
I thought he won his first season.
Turbo beat him.
Sorry. Hand up.
Good thought. Trev, what do you think?
No. I see both sides of it.
Who'd your five be?
I would say right now, at this moment.
Yes.
Bananas one. I would go Jordan two. I would go Tony three. Champs for stars. Ooh. Champs for stars. There it is. You know they would count that shit.
Oh, yeah. Kaz won like Chance versus Twitter.
I'd go CT. And then the fifth one, I might lean towards Devin because I need a fresh blood. I like that, Andy. I do like that. I get it. Three is ridiculous, though. I think that's too high.
Why?
He would be my fifth or sixth. Honestly, Devin would be a perfect sixth man, honestly.
Off the bench.
You guys need to stop living in the past. If we keep living in the past, the show's going to die in a year.
It already has. We're underground. We're going to dream and dream and dream and dream.
That was my line.
That was such a good point last week on the pod, Trev.
Thanks. I'm a big Inception guy. So
I can tell, Trev.
Gosh. All right. Should we talk about the girls?
No, talk about the fucking Devin pulling the dagger.
All right. Relax. Ropa 2.0. So Devin walks out and we have the three spokes, which one he's going to grab. He goes for the middle one. And what happens? It's chaos. It's literally this chaotic spear fest thing with spikes all over it. And Tej is like, you know, we're in chaos mode. I think everybody smirked as soon as he said that. And he basically gave him the right to call out anybody on stage, call out anybody there or anybody on the elimination floor already. And, you know, Devin, you know, just being that type of guy, all dramatic, hyped it up, which was great. I love everybody was like, oh, vote in, what's his name? Corey, vote in Corey. Why would I go against Corey when obviously you want him eliminated? He's sitting down here on the floor and stuff, and him choosing Callum out of the blue. I loved it. I think this was one of the best twists the challenge has done in a long time. I really do. I love this. It almost makes me want an
I don't want to open up another can of worms, but the winners of the daily are the only people safe, and the challenge champs just go against whoever they want. You get what I'm saying? So there's no loser.
So there's no loser. There's no draw. The champ just picks whoever.
Yes. Because I love that. I love the randomness, and I love the champion. Like, chaos. Yeah. I don't know. That's just a different thought. But if you guys want to talk about the other thing first and hit.
Yeah. That Devin pulling the third thing and then getting to pick whoever. I think we had speculated when they introduced Jordan that like the third one probably was that they could pick whoever, which is, you know, it is true chaos. And I think the other piece of chaos that we didn't really, I guess, think about was that, you know, because this new chaos is introduced to the cast, like we saw, like, you know, people trying to save each other. When Devin started to try to stir the pod and be like, you know, who should I vote in? You saw Michelle, Mariah chime in. Like, that's going to be like, if this, you know, if this thing happens again, that's going to be a thing where people have to think like, should I keep quiet? Should I try to save, you know, somebody? Like, and you know, will that come back to bite me? So there is like, there is chaos of pulling the chaos thing, but there is also ensuing chaos afterwards.
Jesus, how many chaos?
So I have a question regarding said chaos. It popped into my head as Devin was walking up about to draw the poll. So obviously we've had the poll three times, I believe. Surely the producers told Devin to pull the middle one, right?
You think?
We can all agree on that, right?
I think all three of them were just the same one. So it was just automatic chaos.
Like, they told Devin, hey, go up there, pull the middle one, because we need to introduce the wrinkle of the draw. We can all agree on that, right?
Could you imagine Devin, he's like, okay, I'll do it, and just rips all three of them up, and they're all with, like, the spears on them? I mean, that would almost be as worst production as Jeff D'Lo these days.
Not even close. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was interesting. It definitely throws a big old monkey wrench into everything moving forward. But one of the things that stuck out to me, Michelle was talking about how her and Devin are so close and they're good friends and all that. When Tej told Devin that he could pick anyone aside from himself and Horacio and my man Kylan, the only person that Michelle said don't pick was Jay. That was it. She didn't say don't pick the guy I'm hooking up with who has a girlfriend back home. She just said, don't pick Jay. So then Devin was like, all right, I'll pick Callum. And then he was like, how am I supposed to know that that's the guy that Michelle is hooking up with? Like, that's on her in my mind.
It is. I mean, yeah, she opened her mouth to save somebody, and it was to save Jay. It was to save Jay and not Callum. And Mikey the Doctor poses a great question that also ran through my mind watching the episode was, when Devin actually, you know, finally picks Callum, how the hell does he even know his name?
Yeah.
He says, Callum, you're coming in. He has no idea who he is.
That's a great point.
Good question.
Do you think production was just like, choose Callum, you'll figure it out?
I think they had to have said, like, there's probably, what, 6-7 guys on the stage to choose from. Probably knew 2-3 of them. And they probably told him, you know, this big guy who looks like the Hulk, that's James. You know, this guy with the dreads and all the tattoos, he's fucking Michelle. His name is Callum. And that's about it.
Exactly like that. Do you think they actually give these – it's the same thing like The Bachelor, Bachelorette. And do you think they just have name tags or something? Or, like, they're just, like, looking at, like, a sheet? Alex,
what?
Like, do you think they're just like Devin's about to go out, and do you think they're just like looking at kind of like a headshot of whoever? No,
I don't understand the question.
I'm saying like almost like a yearbook. Do you think Devin is literally looking at like Callum's face, and it has like Callum underneath, and like before he goes out for the elimination?
Yes, absolutely.
So what would have happened if he just forgot his name is what I'm getting at.
I think TJ whispers in his ear.
No way. You think he just like
they cut it off.
$1. That's Alex moving along. You think he's just like that? US dollars.
All right. So what are we thinking about Devin versus Callum?
I thought the elimination sucked. Thoughts from you guys?
I thought it was.
I mean, it was.
I thought it was okay.
It was preschool. We were literally counting, as Nuri said. We were counting math. I will never understand why the challenge allows people to communicate as much as they do during an elimination with each other. Like, one, tonight it would have distracted me completely. I would have sucked. I'm just saying, like, the fact that they're like, you know, Callum's like, one, two, and like they're yelling, like, that is ridiculous. That can't happen. It was like, what was the famous one? Like, the countries and capitals one a few years ago?
Oh, with bananas?
Yeah. No, it was the seasons of the. I was thinking yeah, it was the seasons. Challenge I think with the Dean West.
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah.
Yeah. Like, shit like that can't happen.
But the thing is, I mean, the like you said, the people in the stands counting with me would have only distracted me. But I think for somebody like Callum, it actually did probably help him because he's an idiot. But the fact that he needs like 10 grown adults to count 1, 2, 3 with him is just insane.
And he literally, like, halfway through it, looked up at Michelle and said, what am I at? Like, it's not like it was just, like, there as, like, a backup option. Like, he was using it. He was using the crowd as, like, his actual source of truth.
He doesn't know what number is next.
Yes, 17, 18. What's next? I mean, come on.
What do you think Callum could actually count to? Like, what do you think the limit was? If you gave
I think he gets tripped up at about 100 to 101. I don't know if he knows what to do there.
It's just like the database. Wait, it goes more?
Yeah.
It would just be something like that. All right. So, Alex, what did you think about the elimination?
I mean, I thought it was good, not great. I thought it was right up Devin's wheelhouse, in my opinion. Right in his wheelhouse, something where he's able to use his brain against one of these idiots' brains. And, you know, there was some, I guess, physicalness, endurance to it, but like dragging those things. But it was like just to Devin's peak of being able to do that. You know, if you're moving a three times that much weight, Devin's going to struggle. But like he can do that. He's gotten in better shape. He knows what to do. And it was just like a veteran champ using his strengths to his advantage. And like he said it several times in the confessionals, you know, keeping your focus and all of that. Like, I just never really doubted that Devin was going to pull this off.
Agreed. And like they made a mention of like Devin's really smart with numbers. No, he just smart. Like, and more importantly, he just not an idiot. And when you're not an idiot on this show, you're viewed as Einstein. And that's really what Devin is.
I will never – the one thing I'm pissed about tonight, I don't think we heard anything about Devin being the puzzle king tonight. Mm. I think that was a missed opportunity.
Big miss.
I think he was already a puzzle king. This just adds to his legacy, I guess, of his 2-6 record in puzzles.
I think it might even make Callum a puzzle king. Because going against him, and the fact that like Devin didn't win on his first try, even though that has nothing to do with Callum, it means Callum sort of stayed, you know, kept pace with him. I think next season they might call Callum a puzzle king.
Maybe a puzzle prince.
I like that. So like we said, Devin beats Callum. Callum goes home, Michelle all upset. And now we're left with 8 guys, 10 girls. So where do we think we go from here? Do we think we're going to get a double girl elimination next? Do we think
You're shaking your head no, Andy. Like, what are we thinking?
I think we're just going to keep going back and forth, back and forth. I mean, the challenge is going to drag this season out as long as they can. And if they keep going girl champ, guy champ, girl champ, guy champ, like they can rattle off like another, what, 8 episodes? Have we seen – or we've seen 3 champs, right? So they could rattle off another 7 episodes with a potential of possibly 0 people getting kicked off, which probably won't happen, but they could rattle off 7 episodes with 4 people getting kicked off.
Crazy.
Yeah, I think right now it is, I guess, you know, there are 2 more girls, but I guess that's still close enough where they'll probably, like High School Musical, stick to the status quo and keep alternating. But, you know, maybe they have it in their back pocket, you know, to switch the hotel reservations for Darrell and Kara, for example, to bring back Darrell before Kara or something like that. But it does, like, it does just kind of make it annoying, the numbers being off like that. And, like, next week, it'll be nice that there is an even number, but still, like, there's 2 more girls. So, like, there's going to be teams, you know, lopsided. We saw it tonight that one team had 4 people. Everybody else had 3. So that is kind of annoying, but I guess it's just something that we'll have to deal with. So I would assume next week is a girl, but I also think it's very the challenge-esque these days in episode, I don't know, 9, 10, 11, to just randomly do a double elimination, mm-hmm. a guy and a girl.
I just think the challengers also need to come together. They need to, you know, I don't even know. Like, I just feel like they're so divided still. They kind of need to, like, work this out and, you know, make it to the next level. That's that. And I don't know. They just look so bad when it comes to the eliminations. Don't you guys think so? Like,
yes.
I don't know.
You mean like they should work as one unit or what?
Yeah. Like, almost like, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of the best way to say it. Like, I don't want to say strategically. I'm not saying strategically throwing people in, but sort of.
But the problem is now, just to kind of double down on your point, Trev, these clowns are at 386K. They could be at 500. If they won the right things during, what was the first C?
Control.
During control, they could have gotten up to 500K. That's what they could be at. They're now at 386, and it's looking like it's dwindling.
Yeah.
And it is, like, kind of an interesting dynamic. Like, for example, if you're Jay tonight and you're in the crowd and you're rooting for the elimination, like, on one hand, if Callum loses, you lose 10,000 out of the pot. But, like, a guy also goes home. Like, you get one step closer to the finale. And so I think at least for now, if I'm someone in the crowd, like, I'm rooting, I'll give up that 10K to, you know, move another spot further.
Which is like, honestly, pretty counterintuitive, because to your point, if you're picking between those two options, somebody getting sent home and 10K out of 400 grand getting lost, you're picking somebody getting sent home any day of the week. So it's not like when TJ says, oh, you guys lost 10K, they don't care. They're happy. Someone's gone.
I don't know. I was just thinking at it as, like, why are we not throwing, like, Horacio in tonight? And either A, we save $10,000, or B, a good competitor goes home.
Well, he did win the daily.
No, I'm just using an example of him. I'm just using, like, why are we not throwing Jay in? Why are we not throwing James?
Because these people are idiots.
Yes.
Remember a few episodes ago, they were, like, making up rules, and they were like, TJ said it's a male elimination, but he didn't say that it's not a female elimination, so we might be going in. Like, they literally have been...
Yeah. Michelle made Corey cry over that. It was totally irrelevant.
God. All right, so segments tonight. What do we got?
All right, first one is going to be a quick one. This day in challenge history, quick trivia question. On this day in 2004, this female lost an elimination. It's a female that we all know.
Anissa.
Kellyanne.
Anissa. Damn it. 2004.
I think that was the pig roast episode, and I think she's still up there since 2004.
You think she's still in challenge shape, according to herself?
I think if you look at Instagram, you can answer that question.
I said according to herself.
Kevin Durant was still in high school. Anissa's still doing this.
Oh. All right. Next, next segment we got.
MVP, LVP?
What about Andy's segment?
Yeah.
See,
my segment, champ change.
Yeah.
My segment of champ change, we can't really do it anymore. There's already champs.
I mean, Trev, honestly, Trev, we don't have to do my segment champ change because, like, in my mind, I wanted to do champ change when there weren't champs involved, but there were champs involved on this one. So I don't think it makes sense to do my segment champ change.
Andy, I respect your decision. And I love coming from you. I'll accept it. So we'll move on.
It is decided.
It is decided. All right. Thanks. So, Alex, what's the other segment we got tonight?
MVP, LVP.
MVP, LVP. Well, you guys know, last segment of the night, we'll leave it up to the chat to decide. Whatever the first order we get in the chat will be the order of MVP, LVP tonight. So, as we wait, let's talk about the stir the prop real quick. I see we just got the order real quick, but something we can check off the list tonight was champ over challenger.
Yeah, that's two.
Two. So I believe the over-under was 4.5.
Yes.
I went with the over. Andy went with the over, Alex went with the under, and Adam Meadows went with the under. Total episodes, I believe, was 17 and a half. We're at number 7. Also means we are looking at a great spot of 7 more champs coming to the house, which leaves us at episode 14. You got to think the finale is, what, 4 episodes by now? So I think we're looking pretty solid with the over with that as well. So, and I think the last thing we had was over under 0.5 injuries or disqualifications. And that has obviously not hit. And that's not looking good as the days go on. But I don't know if you guys saw the little preview on the next week on the challenge. Seems like somebody got their eye cut open, which we'll get into it. And maybe somebody's going home and could give us the list.
So, wasn't the other over under number of FaceTime calls to challengers?
Was that one of them too?
I think so.
Yes.
They all kind of blend together, which I only think we have like 1 or 2 FaceTime calls.
Yeah, we have not had many at all.
A lot.
Have we had any?
Yeah, we had one. It was Callum, right?
Mm-hmm. No, but to a challenger.
No, 0.
Yeah. 0.
Yeah.
And with what's his face being out, that hurts.
Who?
Amber B's boyfriend.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. MVP, LVP time. We're starting it off. Alex, numero uno, who do you got for us?
My MVP of tonight's episode, I'm going to go with Jay. Because Jay is just kind of in the driver's seat. And he's been in the driver's seat this whole season, and he's done a good job of, like, being in the driver's seat, but also these people are too dumb to realize it, and, like, he is kind of pulling all of the little puppet strings. He got, you know, he got somebody like Corey to go into elimination, and, you know, Corey doesn't go home because of the whole chaos and everything, and so even because Callum goes home, it moves Jay a step closer to the finish line. But also, for some reason, Corey is like, he still is just so clueless that he's like, I'm going to go back and prove to my original alliance that I'm still for them. And so, like, he's going to go in at some other point, like, in place of Jay. So I just think Jay is just in the best spot of anybody in the game right now. So he's my MVP.
Great pick. Great pick. Andy, who you got, MVP?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes. I hear you.
Okay. My MVP, good pick, by the way. My MVP is going to be Horacio. I don't think he played a great game politically, but this dude just fucking wins. And it gives me flashbacks of Fresh Meat 2 when the political game is pointed against other people in the show, but the other people just win and win and win in the dailies. Horacio's won back-to-backs. I don't think he has a target on his back. He's not taking advantage of the power that is being bestowed upon him. But at the end of the day, if you keep fucking winning, you're going to win this whole thing. So Horacio just keeps winning. It gives me shades of Kenny from Fresh Meat 2. Kenny against Wes. Very how to take down an entire alliance by Mr. Beautiful vibes. And Horacio is kind of grabbing the bull by the horns on that.
Interesting pick. I thought Horacio's name would be floated around for LVP tonight. But
he could.
We'll get into it.
He could. But again, my main logic to that is he's just going to keep fucking winning. And until he starts losing, and even when he does start to lose, I don't think he's going to be a target. But if the dude keeps winning, he's going to keep being my MVP.
Okay. My MVP tonight is got to be somebody that I think I would probably choose third as like current challenge champs that I want to see come back. And I'm going Devin. I think Devin showed up tonight and, you know, I didn't have a lot of respect for Devin. I think when he walked out, I think I texted Alex and put challenge champ with an asterisk next to it. And he showed out tonight. Congratulations. He got the win, got his $10,000, and he was a very good showman with it, you know, and that's, I don't want to call him Bananas 2.0. I don't even want to put Bananas Junior. Like, I think Bananas is giving him too much right now, but he's on a good path to kind of copy the Banana Man himself. So my MVP tonight is going to be Devin.
Almost like a little Chiquita.
Yeah, I guess.
Like the little small little bananas.
Yeah, I got the reference. It's kind of smirk. My LVP tonight is got to be one thing and one thing only. I mean, when you get a double puzzle tonight, puzzles are definitely my LVP tonight. I mean, it's a slap in our face. Nobody wants to see them. I don't know why the challenge continues to do puzzles. I think next year, and hand up, completely my fault, for Stir the Prop, we got to put over under 25.5 puzzles on this season. You know, I think that was a missed opportunity, but tonight my LVP is got to be puzzles. Back-to-back stuff can't happen.
Good pick. Great. I like the puzzles, but good pick.
Oh, come on.
My LVP pick for tonight, I don't think it would have been taken, but I'm still going to take it. I'm going to say Callum's girlfriend.
The one back home.
Yeah.
Okay.
We FaceTimed her like episode one saying, I miss you. I love you. I can't wait to be back with you. Yada, yada, yada. He's now like depressed about leaving Michelle. His girlfriend has not been named once since that first FaceTime. And now he's going to have a shit storm waiting for him back home. So, I mean, she's just been kind of, I don't know, like embarrassed isn't even right. Just like, into the trash and compacted and thrown into the dump.
It's kind of impressive. And I don't want to say impressive. Impressive is the wrong word. Maybe disturbing. Like, he's literally in a relationship with this girl. And I think it's for like over 2.5 years. Like, I think there's some depth to it. And it's just kind of like Andy said, it's just a slap in the face. Like, I mean, how can Callum literally do that to somebody? You're on national television. Like, oh, it's not going to be seen. I mean,
international television.
Thank you, Andy.
Maybe
the fact that you literally, one of the parts of tonight's episode, and I know we didn't really touch on it, Michelle literally had a date with him where she set everything up. A slap in the face.
So is she your pick kind of because, like, at this point in time, her boyfriend is going to arrive back home and tell her basically all of the shit that's been going on?
Mm-hmm. Got it.
No,
or because she's just kind of, it's embarrassing for her.
I don't think Callum's going to tell her a single thing of what's happening.
So I think she's watching live tonight for the first time.
Yes. Knowing these fucking clowns that are on this show, he arrived back and he said, I can't do an English accent. Oh, you know, I'm
come on. So
let's
see an English accent.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Come on, Frankie.
I literally can't.
Come on.
He's going to come back and say,
oh, there it was. I kind of broke out a little.
No. I'm so happy to be back. I missed you so much. Like, it was so much fun, but I'm so happy to be back here with you. And he's going to play that lie out for, you know, 3 to 6 months, whatever production takes. And then she's going to watch this and just be like, are you fucking kidding me?
So do we think Callum, as of this moment right now, maybe 2 hours, rewind a little, do you think Callum is still with that girl and not Michelle?
No chance.
Yeah, here's the way that I personally think it would go. He comes back for the next month. It's just him and his girlfriend. Okay. And then Michelle gets sent home or loses in the finale, whatever. Then she goes back. Then they start DMing. They start texting. They call. He somehow has to go to, you know, LA or Vegas for work. He meets up with her. They hook up again. Then he starts telling her, like, oh my gosh, like, I miss you so much. Like, I still want to be with you. I still think about you all the time. So then he's kind of got his hands in both pots. And then he goes back to the UK and then he does the whole thing. And now he's just like literally just juggling. And then this episode comes out and he's already 1 foot out the door. And then his girlfriend just like, what the fuck is this? And then he's like, yeah, I'm out. That's how I think that whole relationship happened. And I think it's pretty damn spot on.
I could see that as a very real possibility.
Alex, round out the night, LVP.
I can't believe this person fell to me, but I'm going to go, my LVP tonight is Corey. Just a terrible performance. And the thought went through my mind as he was kind of digging his own grave at the deliberation of, he's kind of just like been like this all season, just like always kind of bitching in the middle of everyone's business and like doesn't really have a strong alliance clearly. And so I was like, man, it's kind of surprising that he made it this far. It's kind of surprising that he made it 7 episodes. And then when he gets voted in, I'm like, all right, there's a good chance that, you know, he's going to end up being in the elimination and probably lose to somebody. And then he doesn't even have to compete. So not only did he make it this far, he's probably going to make it through the next episode if it's a girls' elimination. Maybe the next one after that is another girls' elimination. Who knows? But, like, the fact that he's just kind of been causing shit and he's going to get to maybe episode 10 without even seeing an elimination, I guess good on him for making it that far. But he's just, like,
at what cost?
He capped his ceiling, I feel like, this episode.
Yeah. Great pick.
Thank you.
Anything else from tonight's episode, Andy?
I've got an honorable mention for LVP. And it has just been a recurring thing, but it feeds into what Alex was saying. My honorable mention is deliberation speeches. For fuck's sake, just stop. Mm-hmm. Just stop talking. That's been like the third or fourth time now. Within 7 chances that the person who speaks during deliberation digs themselves a grave. Just don't say anything. It's embarrassing.
And you would think they would learn their lesson from the idiots before them.
I know.
Good pick.
My honorable mention for LVP was going to be Michelle. And, you know, my MVP was Jay. So, like, they are obviously still very connected. But I just think Michelle is just in a very vulnerable spot at this point. She's kind of been riding high with, you know, Jay's kind of calling all the shots. She has Callum that she's fucking. She's, you know, setting up dates and all of that. And I think she's been in a good spot, but I feel like she's also the type of person that one little thing changes and her whole game could get thrown off.
Mm-hmm.
And Callum going home, we're going to get probably first confessional next week is about how much Callum meant to her, how safe he made her feel in the house and all of that. and she's just going to be a basket case. So I think even though she still has Jay right next to her, I think it's going to be a bad going for Michelle.
God, mic check. What the hell was that down here? Alex is moving his laptop holding the mic. God. All right. On that note, we'll end on that. Just. Alrighty, on that note, thank you guys for listening to a brand new Stir the Pod podcast show. I'm your host, Trevor. You can follow us on Twitter at Stir the Pod. You can follow us on Instagram at Stir_the_pod. Thank you guys. Love you guys. Shout out Duffy. Bye-bye.
Love you guys.
Love you guys.